When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What about you? You married? Got a girlfriend?
Yeah, I was married. But she left me. About a year ago. Same day Master of Puppets came out. I had it on super loud, my headphones all day. I didn't even hear her leave. There I was in thrash nirvana. No idea that the love of my life was about to rip my guts out. I haven't been able to listen to that album since.
How long were you together?
Since high school.
Why did you break up?
I guess the metal lifestyle just wasn't for her. And she hated that I worked nights. We just grew apart. She grew up and I didn't.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as always, with the winner of the annual Beelzebub Decathlon, Baco. How are you, sir?
I am in high spirits this morning, Luce. I got some fantastic news to share with you and the listeners. This is not news for me personally. This is news for all mankind and all womankind. It turns out, according to a study, that masturbation actually helps boost your immune system.
So you are no longer afraid of COVID. Is that correct?
Oh, I never lived in fear, like the Nuge. We'll get to that later. But I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm pretty damn immune. I assume most men, you know, that's why I'm going to start calling bullshit when people call into sick. I'm like, I've seen the kind of stuff you're into. You're feeling fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think Fauci said you either need to get the vaccine or jerk off five times before you leave the house every morning.
The CDC is now recommending masturbating at least seven times a day. Two orgasms. You can do it more than that if you want, but at least seven orgasms is what they're looking for. That's
so
the
what
part
you're saying
helps
is,
you.
So what you're saying is masks are not required at Rockin' Pod.
Yeah, but just a lot of just probably want to keep some hand sanitizer with you. Yeah,
sure.
For your own personal benefit. But
I like starting our show off with some highbrow material. Excellent.
All right. Well, how are you, man? This is our first time getting together. We got basically Whatever Nevermind hitting the last album on the chart. I guess what's been going on with you? You took a trip to Florida. Anything going on down in Florida you want to tell us about?
Oh, it was just nice getting away and realizing why I left. things like that. I mean, it's great if you're by the ocean or something like that, but Jesus.
America's uncircumcised penis, Florida.
Pretty much, yeah. It's it was fine. I don't have actually in a good way. I don't have any crazy stories.
Hey, how about we celebrate that? Loose Cannon had a vacation that was just a vacation and a getaway. Well done.
Yeah, the plane got there in time. It left on time. We weren't stranded somewhere. It was great, Baco. I am refreshed. I am not sunburnt. I survived.
I'm just happy that. The Cannon family made it to Florida and back and had an uneventful time and just enjoyed each other's company for a week. So,
yeah, it's odd that with me, when you describe something as uneventful, that means good.
Yeah. I think it means good in most people's life.
Okay.
That's how I like it. When someone says, hey, how was your weekend? It was uneventful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's awesome.
All right, man. Well, let's celebrate that milestone in your life with the first ever Cobras and Fire retraction. You wanted to just get this out of the way?
Please. I mean, I just want to say, too, that I think that it is very important, as we are respected rock journalists, obviously, but we're also,
doing
a respected news organization. News organization. We're, yeah, like you said, what are we doing?
We're doing our job.
Doing our job. And if we make a mistake, I think it is our responsibility to own up for that mistake, wouldn't you say?
Right, and we're not going to bury it at the end. You know, we're not going to put this as the Easter egg. We're putting it right up front, people.
Yeah, this is not page 16, you know, on the newspaper in the lower left corner. This is not a legal obligation. This is our responsibility. So please continue.
Yeah, right now, Craig Smith is leaning on the edge of his chair waiting to hear what's coming up next.
You motherfucker.
Nope, it's not that.
Anyway, yeah, back on episode 137. So this goes back a ways, people, a couple years.
Sure.
On that episode, Absolutely Drink, it was titled. We spoke about Congressman Denver Riggleman, who is being challenged by Republican Congressman Denver Riggleman was up for re-election, and the Democratic challenger, Leslie Cockburn, was making
give me those two again.
Denver Riggleman and Leslie Cockburn. And it's weird that those really would make great porn names. I mean, it's like, what's your favorite scene? Oh, I love that scene where Riggleman is just giving it to Leslie Cockburn. Anyway, now look for a retraction. Next week we'll have an apology, not a retraction.
Just you saying that sentence boosted my immune system.
All right, there's a good. We're already getting the callbacks. All right, so we talked a little bit about basically Leslie Cockburn accused Denver Riggleman of enjoying what was new to us anyway, a form of porn called Bigfoot porn. Now, in our coverage, yes. I think it's fair to say that we pretty much accepted that as truth. Like we really didn't break down whether there was any. We didn't get into how she came to that and why she was saying it. We just kind of enjoyed that. And I think by doing that, we tacitly accepted it as fact. And that's sure. Where I think we made the wrong, because I think we actually had no issue with Congressman Riggleman enjoying any kind of like harmless fetish. If he's into throwing on a Bigfoot outfit, hey, you know, as consenting adults can do what they want. But we do.
Yeah, but maybe we should actually define that we're not talking about somebody that has a foot fetish that likes really big feet.
Right.
We're talking about
the
swamp. Yeah,
we are talking about Sasquatch. That there was a the Cockburn. Candidacy, whatever the little group trying to elect her, they put out like some crude, I don't know, graphic that they made where they put Riggleman's face on like a sketch of Bigfoot. Anyway, yeah. And then of course, you know, I had to like, you know, go to the internet and find out if this is something that actually exists. And it's not the most popular fetish out there, but it is a thing.
So it's basically people that dress up in the outfit and then,
from what I could tell, yes. And from what I remember, I should say, it really didn't do much for me. It did not boost my immune system. So you know, I didn't go other than it was, that one was honestly strictly for show research that one time that I was on YouPorn.
I just would like to be at, because I like to interrupt your flow, I would just like to be at some kind of divorce proceeding where that comes up. And everything like that, if that's why you're separating. One person is way into this.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing you got to get out on the table once you start thinking this might be the one. You get this out before you propose. This has to be. Or before you accept. Will you marry me? Yeah. I need to tell you something before I answer that question. And then let me know if you want to ask again. So
these are these tough conversations you have to have that help your relationship.
They do, yeah. It helps us avoid, you know, being in a relationship that maybe just wasn't a good fit too. So anyway, exactly. Like you and I should have talked about that 6 years ago. Oh,
we should have.
Hey, yes. Happy anniversary.
You motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. We are. We
6 years.
By the bell of my credit card, I know that it has now been 6 years that we've been on in the world, giving our genius. But We'll praise ourselves later. Let's focus on the task at hand.
Now let's get back to this is already, like, right now Denver Riggleman is like, all right, when are you going to get to this, man?
That's right.
Okay.
One of our biggest fans.
So let me wrap it up by saying this. While we actually had no issue with Riggleman or anyone else enjoying a fairly harmless fetish, we do own Mr. Riggleman, a 15-year veteran of the Air Force, I would like to add, a bit of an apology. Now, I recently watched, this all came about because I recently watched a documentary about QAnon on Vice and just how disinformation is used in today's world, especially in politics. And here's the facts. It turns out that Congressman Riggleman actually wrote a sort of satirical book about people who hunt for Bigfoot called Bigfoot, It's Complicated. And you can buy this book on Amazon. It's harmless. And from Mr. Riggleman's explanation, he's like, he's always found it fascinating that despite no evidence, these people out there want to keep looking for Bigfoot. So, like I said, it's kind of a lighthearted, satirical, kind of fun kind of book. But it's the title that Leslie Cockburn latched onto, Bigfoot is Complicated. And that's how she came up with the whole Bigfoot porn narrative, which is really just shitty modern day politics. And so while I stand by ours, there's not anything wrong with that stance. I do feel our coverage was unfair, and Mr. Riggleman deserves our apologies, and the listeners, most importantly, deserve this retraction.
Wow. I respect that. And I guess the whole thing I'm confused about is, how do you go from that book to then coming up with that BS? I've heard of dirty politics, but that's just like next level madness.
I want to know. Well, the weird thing is that, like, the people who came up with that were also the brains behind Pizzagate. So
I guess so. It's just madness. Yeah. All I know is that in Florida, do you know what they call Bigfoot?
Steve?
That's a good guess. Swamp ape.
Swamp ape. All right.
No kidding. That is the term there for people looking for him in Florida.
Well, I think what it is, people are more likely to believe something that they want to be true, whether it's positive or negative. Much like me, when I found out that jerking off boosts your immune system, it's just a bit of confirmation bias, baby.
Yeah. You want to believe what you're doing is productive and helping society.
12 cans of Coors Light lead to a longer life if you drink 12 a day.
Such a waste of time. And the bullets start to fly, and the bombs about to break. When you hear them cry, it's too much for me to take. They said the world does not belong to you. You are not the king, I am not the fool. They said the world does not belong to you. It don't belong. It belongs.
Hey, one of the bands that that showed up a couple times on the Whatever Nevermind list was Soundgarden, and they are dealing with a bit of a legal mess ever since the passing of Chris a few years ago. Have you been paying attention to any of this? Am I hitting you with something that you're not really aware of?
I know a little bit about it, but it's mostly that I know there's issues with his estate and who has the songwriting or trying to buy him out of songwriting or something like that. So as you can tell, not much.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of skimp over some of the details. I will encourage people, if you do find some of the stuff we talk about interesting, go out there and kind of get into it, because it is a lot. But the nuts and bolts of it is that basically Chris's wife, Vicky, is okay. Susan Silver was the band manager and his first wife. They've been divorced for some time, but he got remarried. You know, again, not exactly recently, so this is not anything new. But Vicky's been his wife now was his wife when he passed. Let's put it that way. She owns the Chris Cornell estate, basically, which shouldn't surprise anybody. What is kind of getting messy is she's not allowing the Soundgarden guys access to their own social media pages, and there's all this legal stuff going on, and that book that Corbin Reef, you know, who was a guest on Whatever Nevermind, wrote, Total Fucking Godhead. When I talked to him, you know, he mentioned that, you know, as he got into like the, you know, he started the book, people were very cooperative, but once all his legal stuff started to happen, it was really difficult to get people to be involved in, you know, the story of Chris's life, just because they weren't sure how that stuff was going to play out and that kind of thing. I ran into the same problem too, trying to get anybody. I couldn't get Terry Date politely passed. And it was, from what I understand, largely tied to the fact that right now nobody wants to do anything official. They'll talk to certain people, but, you know, they're not going to put themselves out there with someone they're probably not that familiar with, or someone doing a book, that kind of deal. But yeah, so Soundgarden right now is going off of their social media is the Nude Dragons, which is an anagram of Soundgarden that they've used for like special gigs in the past.
That explains. I was like, well, how did they even come up with that? That's kind of genius. Okay.
But yeah, so that's the three remaining members, you know, Ben Shepherd, Matt Cameron, and of course Kim Thayil.
Right.
I have a personal beef with this kind of mess. I don't think this shit should be this fucking complicated. I don't know the relationship between the members. I don't know anybody involved personally, but I can tell you right now from a creative angle that Vicky, or Chris's ex-wife, whatever we want to call her, I guess Vicky's her name. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Again, I'm not trying to like paint her as some gold digger or anything like that. That's not where I'm going. But she didn't help write these songs. She didn't work on these albums with these guys. She didn't help the band. You know what I mean? Now, she ran their social media, apparently, once they reunited. But that doesn't mean you get to keep them locked out of it once Chris is gone. And to me, it's just very simple. Whatever financial stake Chris is owed should go to the estate, or whoever Chris would have left that to, however that was lined up. Any band creative decision should be done by any member of the band left. You know what I mean? We're not talking about Jimi Hendrix, where there's one guy and he's gone. Now you might need to be a little more careful about who you get involved in that kind of stuff. You have three members of this band that are still alive. They have some unreleased recordings they want to put up that she's holding up. She won't let them even get into their own social media pages, to the point they have to come up with a different name for the band and open those, you know, just so they can do their own, you know, offer what they're doing. And when you go to those pages, they're not filled with, like, propaganda trying to destroy her. They are celebrations of Soundgarden and which is Chris, you know what I mean? So
just real quick on the social media page, that thing I think is maddening, because we are not a entity like Soundgarden,
right?
But like me, I could one day just decide to kick you off the page because I happen to create the Facebook page.
Yep.
So I'm like the super admin. But the fact that this even went on for as long as it has, the keys should have been handed over. That should never even happen. The fact that she could have kicked the members off is a
right.
silly thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I just saw a recent comment from her, because this is going to court, and her comment was, they never cared. They didn't do... Maybe I am trying to paint her in a bad light. She said they never cared back in the day. You know what I mean? They weren't involved at all. They didn't want to get involved, but now they do. Yeah, they do, because now they kind of have to. They're trying to protect their legacy, lady, not yours. Again, if you and Chris bought a restaurant together and you work there together, you deserve what you're doing right now. But this is not you. Don't. And by the way, it just sucks for the fans. It's like.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. That's pretty crazy that they had to make that extra page.
Take your money and just go. Okay, raise his kids. You know, do focus on the important things in life. I don't begrudge her for marrying him or having any sort of like lifestyle that's afforded to her because of his success. That's all good, man. But she stepped the fuck out of the way. I don't want her designing T-shirts. And I just
I guess this is just one more example of a less high profile case of the whole thing that went down with Prince. You have all these genius artists that if anybody, I was of all these things I've ever heard of, the fact that Prince didn't have, you have a different opinion on this, but the fact that Prince didn't have anything set for all of his music, because he you know what I mean, from all the vaults, and it was just a free for all for what happened afterwards, just completely befuddled me. I mean, I was like, what? That guy seemed to be so controlling on all of his, you know, creativity and everything like that. So it's just, again, one of these things where, just like us, we need to talk about the secession plan for Cobras and Fire.
That was my exact take, though. That's not a different opinion. That was my opinion. I'm just...
Is it?
Yeah. I thought it's crazy how meticulous this guy was with everything in his life, and yet this one giant area, it was a mess. And Eddie Van Halen was kind of the opposite. Eddie Van Halen, everything was a mess, but when he passed, everything of his was kind of handed over to basically his son to kind of run. Now, Prince, solo artist, though. I mean, you don't have three surviving members of the band Prince. You know, it gets a little more complicated. Also, I don't know that he was married at the time either, you know. So, I think she's, being the ex-wife, the legal setbacks or situations here, and whatever Chris might have had a will, I don't know all those details. I don't care. I'm literally just saying you shouldn't be involved in band business unless they want you to. If they want you to run their media, their social media, and you agree to do it, that's fine, and whatever you agree to there. But the moment they say no, you just say, okay, here are the passwords.
That's all I'm saying. Like, you at least need to have something so you don't end up having to have another page that's an anagram of your band name.
Yeah. And with the unreleased recordings, I don't know if there's some unwritten stuff there, or maybe some clear communication where I can't believe Chris would have said, hey, you know, if I happen to die unexpectedly, make sure they don't release this shit.
You know? Right.
But I'm just saying there might be something more complicated there that we're not privy to, and I can accept that. But they should be able to run their business, and she should be able to take her, you know, what Chris has cut and do what she needs to with it. That's all good. But she should just absolutely not be impeding the business of the band.
All this has to do with, nothing should ever keep people from releasing things they've created. Right? You know what I mean? There's never been anything blocking that. All that does is hurt the fans and everything.
And
like
it's
that.
Actually, so it's unfair to those guys too. You know, I just, as someone who considers himself somewhat of an artist at times, I just, that just rubs me the wrong way, man. And this is not the first time we've heard this kind of shit where people who weren't involved with it decide what happens. And it's maddening. Anyway. Enough.
I know. I mean, imagine if somebody had the control to ban what we say, and we wouldn't be able to release the Bigfoot porn.
Hey, we retracted it 3 years later.
This good life, it's splendor. Never a chance did I push aside. No my sense for adventure. Chasing the dream since I was a teen. And my home, spend the whole world. I played the cards that was down to me. Made my bones pushed over. But I'm still lingering on. And I still fly.
other day, I turned on Netflix, and you know how they have the auto. I don't know. Can you turn that off when you I could not find a way to do it, but when you scroll through things and it starts auto-playing?
Oh, yeah. Supposedly there is, but every time I investigate it, I can't get it to do it. Yeah, it's annoying as shit. Either.
I can't stand it. But again, one of those things was it started playing. I was like, what am I going to watch? Oh, this would be a good investment of my time. I'm going to watch a documentary on Blockbuster.
Yeah.
The last Blockbuster.
Yep.
About one location in, where the hell was it?
Some place in Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon.
The last one. As of, like, I think it was 2019, it still existed or something like that. But yeah, proceed. I understand you posted something about this, and I immediately thought, oh, my God, somebody else has watched this thing. So,
yeah, we have Netflix at work, believe it or not. And during lunch, you know, it really depends on who's up there. But, like, if I'm up there alone, I've kind of burned through a few shows. I just one day started watching this. And so it took about a month, but... I got through the whole thing, and then when I was done, I was just kind of thinking back on the whole deal. And my comment was like, look, you know, I guess it was entertaining enough for me to watch while I ate a sandwich, you know. But so I got something.
Before you even go into it, I just want to say one other thing. Even before I started watching the first 5 minutes, I go, how ironic is the fact that Netflix paid for a documentary on Blockbuster,
yeah.
If you think about that.
Yeah, it really is, especially when you find out that, like, Blockbuster passed on a chance to buy Netflix for, like, what, $50 million or $500 million, something?
Yeah.
But that's probably a good thing, you know what I mean? I can't believe Netflix would be as good. I think Netflix is pretty good.
Yeah, so do I.
From a creative sense. And I don't think we would have got there if it would have been ran by the brain trust at fucking Netflix, man.
We would be getting full series of Police Academy.
Yeah. Yeah, it would definitely have Titanic, 100 copies of it. But there's kind of a lead into where my frustration of this was, is that, like, this is a celebration of one of the shittiest fucking video rental companies ever. Okay, my comment was, who the fuck are they fooling here? Blockbuster fucking sucked. You know, and then there's even a couple points where, like, first of all, there's a handful of things I want to talk about. The first thing I'm going to get at is they talk about how Blockbuster, once they got big, worked out special deals so they could buy 100 copies of Titanic for $2 a pop, right? Meanwhile, every independent video store had to buy them for like $100. So they could get two copies for the same price that Blockbuster would get 100, you know. And they talk about it like, and that was a really good thing. I'm like, that's a fucking horrible thing. What was my joke? Like, I'm going to make a documentary about the joys of paying Ticketmaster fees. It's like, you get up there and it's like, bam. It's like, oh, the smell of that $25 extra fee at the last minute. Oh, God, you're sitting there at your laptop and like, there it is, man. Boom, man.
Remember how great it was that we shut down all the mom and pops?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man. Walmart came to town. The entire downtown businesses went out of business. And the people that worked there got jobs at Walmart for $3 an hour less. It was fucking, just great. Walk into Walmart and smell that vomit and baby poop.
But it was like a family, and it was really great because there was candy in large boxes.
Yeah, I love the woman who ran the store too. Like that. Now, growing up, we all had that one friend whose mom really loved that all the friends came there, and they all called her mom. And this woman really likes it when people who aren't her kids call her mom. They even call her the Blockbuster mom. Something I did not hear one of those fucking kids who they dragged on their collar, by the way. she kept saying they say she's Blockbuster mom. But and then what about the just an actual curious question? By the way, spoilers, people. She just bought up all the old computers from stores as they closed. Can they not just get a different point of sale system, like a new POS setup? Or do they have to use, like, late 90s, early 2000 computer technology to ring people out still? That's really committing to the bit.
Do you really think they're investing any money, more money into the location? But no, that was the part that I lost my mind on. It goes, okay, new releases are coming out. They're sending her to Target to go get stuff people want and then taking it back to Blockbuster to rent. I just the whole
well,
thing
even
was,
the candy. She's like at Costco loading up on candy and all that stuff. And
here's
all
the
signage they're paying out of pocket. But hey, before we get too off track, I did want to say back to my documentaries that I was going to make. At least we now know who we can pay to say positive things about Ticketmaster fees and Walmart running little small towns out of business.
Who's ready to go?
Well, we can get Kevin Smith to come in and say glorious things. Doug Benson, probably just give him a bag of weed and a plane ticket. He'll show up, make some really bad jokes and say, who didn't love paying Ticketmaster fees, right? I don't know a single person that didn't love it. And then, of course, your boy, Jamie Kennedy, he's looking for work. So I don't know. What do you think?
In between now and Scream 6 or whatever, he's ready to go.
Now, in fairness, Jimmy actually was an employee of Blockbuster as working in their early commercials. So of the one person that that was somewhat famous that deserved to be in there, at least he had a connection to the fucking store. And what was that other the stand-up comedian, the guy from Big Bang, he's a metalhead, I can never remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. The guy did Dad Metal, whatever, put out an album last year.
Yeah.
I've never found him funny, though.
No, that's not my cup of tea,
But with that, Poussin.
Ryan Poussin, yeah.
Brian Poussin. But the thing I thought was hilarious, though, is one of my favorite comedians, though, the Jim Gaffigan was in those old Blockbuster commercials.
Yeah, but they couldn't get him on the dock?
he looked great. I was like, yeah, that guy's like, I think I'll pass.
Yeah, I don't need the money, and Blockbuster sucked.
But the other part is that this is another example of something that was at most a half hour show with commercials dragged out to almost 90 minutes. I think it was like an hour and 15. They ran out of material like halfway through. I'm like, what are we doing now?
And then they made it sound like they weren't going to be able to renew their licensing agreement with apparently Dish Network owns Blockbuster now. And I'm like, cause they show her and take her phone, and then they're like secretly filming her through the shelves, and she's got a sad look on her face. And then it's like, hey, who was that on the phone? That was Dish Network, and they agreed to renew our. You know, it's like, give me a. They tried to make it dramatic, and they couldn't. Now, for some people that talked about like working there, it might have been a fun job, but as a customer, it was, first of all, they had the most confusing fucking return policy, if I remember right. Like, new releases were
near the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, if you...
One day for these, 5 days for the other, 4 days for another,
whatever it was. Yeah, and 4 days before, you'd have to have it before like closing, and then the new releases had to be in by 5 p.m. or something like that. It was just a mess.
Yep.
Plus, one of the shittiest fucking collections. It was just so, it's exactly what you would think. It compare it to like when you really want to go music shopping and you want to really get into it, you're going to go to fucking Walmart, or you're going to go to a music store, you know what I mean? Or even if you want to go a fucking Music Land at the time, it's going to blow away the selection at Target and Walmart. Fucking Blockbuster is that, but this is their focus, though. Walmart's like, well, you come here to get toilet paper, too. You know, but you go to Blockbuster. You don't go to Blockbuster to pick up popcorn. You go there to fucking rent movies. And it's great that you got 700 copies of Titanic, but, you know, what was the one guy whose movie they wouldn't take? Toxic Avenger? He was pissed off because Blockbuster would never put him in there.
Yeah, a guy had 90 seconds of madness.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, and that was the one critique they could get, was just some kind of lunatic upset that his movie, the Toxic Avenger 1, 2, and 3, and 4, weren't available at any Blockbusters.
Yes.
Seriously, they could have tried a little harder to make. This is one of the most biased documentaries ever. They started out with one day. Don't you remember the great time when Blockbuster fucking sucked?
And there's a through line for this episode, and that is what saved the mom and pop stores.
You know it, because you couldn't get that at Blockbuster. Get Toxic Avenger and porn.
Think about that decision from a corporate standpoint, is what I'm saying. From that saying that they left that. If you think about that from a business thing, if you want some and you wanted to go see Titanic, you went there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and that is a whole different thing that they just passed on for obvious reasons and everything like that. But that was that. I'm telling you, that kept the other ones going. Don't you think that was their one of the things?
Yeah, and it wasn't just porn. It could be like kind of like more R-rated stuff. Like
there you go. Whatever.
They wouldn't have like they had R-rated movies, but they wouldn't have, like, what was that vampire movie with Alyssa Milano's tits all over it? Embrace the Vampire. You wouldn't find that there. And I remember there was one video store in Owatonna that had that, and I cannot tell you how frustrating it was that the guy who rented it kept it for, like, 3 weeks. And then you finally get it, and then it's like you're sliding this thing into your VCR, and you're going, somebody's been jerking off to this, and they pulled this. They finished up, put their pants on it, and pressed eject, and put this videotape. So it's been freshly touched by a penis right before being put away.
Let's just summarize that real quick to expand a little bit more on the tangent on whatever. Never mind.
Still not in, huh? Nope. Steve hasn't returned it.
I got a jerk off station, for God's sakes.
I mean, like, maybe you guys should have got more than one copy.
How was Blockbuster not blamed for a global pandemic like back in the day? I mean, think of all the germs on those cassettes, and especially going back to the whole behind the beads or the curtain from getting those.
Well, hold on.
Think about the whole. Oh, go ahead.
On that note, streaming weakens immune systems is what you're saying. When we go out there and we're in the world and we're touching hands and products that have been holding dicks their whole time,
we're strong.
But when we sit at home with our hand sanitizer and our cleaning wipes wiping down our TVs and remotes, hitting play on Netflix, nope, we just get weak, man.
Do you know what you call that? I think we should start a thing called we need to, as a society, we need to get back to Blockbuster strong. touch all cassettes. I think the reason is that Blockbuster folding.
Hashtag Blockbuster strong.
Yeah, I mean,
strong.
That's the germs, all that stuff. But again, think about the procedure back in the day. Kids, if you're listening, if you were in a certain mood one day, you had to commit. You had to go to that place where you might know somebody that works there, or at least they've seen you a few times. Go get the thing, take it to the front counter, and basically say, pull up my account. I'm about to get down to some business at home.
Yeah. Of my social group, our senior year, I had one friend about a month before me was the first one of our group to turn 18. And we were getting porn pretty regularly at that point. I was number two on that list, so we became kind of a little extra popular on certain weekends. Yeah, a little nothing to do. And it was always weird, too. It's like it was difficult to rent or buy porn by yourself. It was always easier as a group. You know, it's like, for I don't know why, but like for some reason, it just felt less gross. That's creepy. Like, you know, like, look, we're all going to just enjoy this. We're not going to, I'm not taking this home alone and jerking off like some loser.
Yeah, I like to confuse the person working at the counter and get like a copy of Bodacious Tatas and The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, man, that's that's a good mix. I never really thought about doing that.
You got to balance it.
Oh, man. That is where I found out about the joy of Christy Canyon was right around 1988.
Oh, good Lord. We need to move forward from here.
That's also one of Sonny Pooney's favorites, I understand.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. I had to miss that episode. But let's bring this out of the gutter. What do you say?
Yeah, Blockbuster sucks. Greg Troyan is known to have, I don't know, unique views on things. Would you agree?
He likes meatloaf, so yes.
He posted something that, at the time, I had not heard about the whole controversy. So this was my exposure into what we're about to get into. But he's posted something, and I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, I love how my KISS fan friends are all upset about these Satan shoes with a little bit of blood in the heel, but they all love the Kiss comic book. And I my only comment to him was, you have weird friends. I had not heard anything about this. So what I'm talking about, for people that maybe are just as oblivious, the rapper Lil Nas X, who had that Old Town Road song that was controversial in its own right, because they wouldn't let him on the country charts, even though country radio stations were playing the shit out of that tune. So, but not getting into that, he's got a new music video out, and to help promote it, he has something called Satan Shoes. And basically a company, oh, I don't have the name here, but they basically take Nike, the company is called, like, I think it's pronounced Mischief, but it's spelled MSCHF. And apparently they've done this before for other artists. They had a pair of shoes just like these. They called Jesus Shoes. So these are called Satan Shoes. And basically, they're a pair of black Nike Air Max 97 sneakers. I really like the look of these shoes, by the way. And then they has one of those clear heels, you know, and they fill it with red ink, and they apparently put a little bit of blood in there as well, human blood.
Nice.
And then it's
nice.
Got like a 666 on there. It also has a Bible verse written on it. Well, and then there's a metal pentagram attached to the laces that would really get annoying if you were actually walking around with them. So I would be removing those. And then, yeah, like if you look in the top of the shoe, looking down into where your heel would be, there's like a pentagram.
Nice.
So pretty sick looking shoes, actually. If they weren't $1,000, I would have considered buying them. And of course, this turned into a whole thing where everybody from Michael Sweet to, I don't know, a lot of people were complaining about this. It made a lot of news. Now, this ties into a music video, and I got to tell you, I love the theme of the music video. So I haven't watched it, but the song is called Montero, Call Me By Your Name. It depicts Lil Nas descending into hell on a giant stripper pole and performing a lap dance on the devil as he lands in hell, and then he breaks off the horns from him. So I'm actually very jealous that I didn't have that theme for our music video for Jesus Christ or O Devil, Where Art Thou? That is fabulous. But yeah, of course, Nike sued. I doubt anybody's actually getting these shoes that cost $1,018 a pop. Michael Sweet commented about these, of course. Now, I get why Michael might not, this not might be his thing. And he's the guy who's going to share his opinion, and that's all good. But I thought he was a little off base on this one, because like, man, I you guys remember when it wasn't about Satan shoes and it was just about the music? And I'm like, Michael,
no,
you have more gimmicks in Striper than any band ever. You know, I mean, it is John Lennon had to lie about being married, and that wasn't so that people would just listen to the music. That was so people would want to fuck him. They'd find him more fuckable because he's available.
You remember when people wouldn't? Remember, it was all about the music, and it wasn't about throwing Bibles into the audience, right? Remember that?
Hey, what's up with those pants? They're not yellow or black. Go put on some black and yellow pants.
Yeah.
Also,
some jeans,
it's
bro.
About the music.
Silly.
I do remember that, Michael. That was your album, Against the Law. And again, I'm not actually criticizing Michael Sweet or Striper or anything they did. They're doing what every band or what every artist does, trying to draw attention to themselves to help get their music out there. It's all part of the game. It always has been on every level. And this is nothing new. And it worked. Fuck, you and I are talking about a goddamn rapper that apparently was a children's rapper. That's one of the things that's pissing people off. I guess I didn't know that, but what the hell do I know? He's also a young man, though. Does he have to fucking sing for kids his whole life?
No.
Alyssa Milano, she was a child star. I didn't appreciate her work until she did Embrace the Vampire, and then probably not after either, but that one little window was for me as an adult.
There you go.
And Lil Nas has the right to do that, too. As shitty as his music probably is, he can fucking sell some knockoff Nikes at $1,000 a pop if people are going to buy them. I don't care.
Yeah, sounds like he has good band management. Everything that I've heard so far means that he's getting the right advice, and he's getting in the public. The only thing that I would say from is you know, my issue with, before you continue, my issue with Lil and the overuse of stone and black. I just want to tell you right now, this is the new rap name. Anybody can have it, and it hits everything you need. Lil Blackstone. What do you think?
Oh, man. I think you should take it.
I should take it? Okay, I'm Lil Black. I'm going to change it. I'm not LC anymore. I am LBC. What do you think?
LBC.
LBS. Oh, that's even better. LBS.
Pounds. We call you Pounds for short.
Call me Pounds. Little Bla- here's
you know because like Biggie Smalls had a bunch of names. I mean, Big Baby Jesus. I mean, he had a bunch of different names. You're LBS Pounds.
I think I'm going to change it actually, possibly legally. That's LBS LB. Done. Come on, man. Let's do it.
Your rap game is already strong, and I haven't even heard a rhyme.
What else you got on this?
That was really it. I just thought it was fascinating. I tell you right now, if anybody out there wants to buy me a pair of these, I wear a size 12. The Nuge is making some headlines for us again, giving us some show content.
Nice. What you got?
Of course, he's a COVID-19 skeptic. Ted Nugent wants to know why the country wasn't shut down for COVID 1 through 18.
Now, first off, when you shared this, I until you actually put it in the show notes, I thought it was an Onion headline.
Yes? I think everybody did. I literally like put that in my comments. I said some people, and I put in parentheses me, thought this was an Onion headline. God. Yeah, raise your hand out there, people, if you're listening. Honk. Do something.
That was amazing. My follow-up was that I'm not sure if you Googled further, but back in the day, he actually had a similar comment when he was mad at Blockbuster for not having Oceans 1 through 10.
The Nuge was very upset. He was like, I needed to know what led up to this story. He wants to know the backstory of before Ocean's 11. How did Danny Ocean end up in jail? Why does Brad Pitt's character eat all the time?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. The bananas, all that stuff.
Oranges.
But he also put in the article that he's really interested in that little Oriental guy. I want to know his backstory, too. How's he so small? How's he fit into all the things?
Nuge is going to love the Cobra Kai spinoff about Kreese.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I honest to God, I couldn't believe it. But apparently he went on Facebook Live and filled the world with his stupidity. Now, I would like to take a second to point out something. Ted Nugent, much like Gene Simmons, they get a lot of credit for being like rockers who are smart. And it's largely because they just regurgitate the same shit all the time and they're drug free. I you want to talk about living in fear, because Ted will talk about that. I think Ted doesn't do drugs because he's afraid of them. You don't fear COVID, but you're afraid of a doobie. Yeah, you're afraid to find out what happens if you get high. I'm not afraid, Ted. I'm not afraid to get too drunk on a Saturday afternoon. You are.
Hold on for a second. Are you double daring Ted Nugent right now?
I'm double dog daring the Nuge.
I'm telling you.
Take a bong hit and shotgun a Coors Light.
I think we can get his tongue stuck to a pole just with a couple more pushes. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, and
lick that pole.
Gene Simmons is really smart. If someone needs to tell you to, if you're at home right now and you forget to wipe your ass after taking a shit, then Gene Simmons is the type of person you would consider a genius. I'm not saying these guys are dumb. Well, I'm about to say Ted Nugent's dumb, they're just not the brain wizards that they get credit from very unsophisticated people, I would like to point out. But anyway.
Before we go into this, too, I just want to say that who keeps calling him for comments on things?
No, he did this himself. He went Facebook Live on his own.
Oh, okay.
This is unfiltered.
Okay.
Unlike when you attack somebody for answering a question honestly, not you. I'm like, the recent one was Stephen Wilson. He was asked about Van Halen. Nobody asked Ted. He just wanted us to know.
Right.
So here,
okay.
Blabbermouth was, of course, kind enough to transcribe it for us. He went on Facebook Live, and he said,
"You know, this year's tour is canceled again. Are you kidding me? The production companies won't let us tour again this year. Dirty, bastard, lying, scam, smoke and mirrors, COVID-19 freaks. You know, I guess I would ask you, because I'm addicted to truth, logic, and common sense, and my common sense meter would demand the answer to, why weren't we shut down for COVID 1 through 18? There was a COVID 1 and there was a COVID 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. COVID 1 through 18 didn't shut anything down, but whoa, COVID 19, even though it's 99.8% survivable, why didn't we shut down for the AIDS epidemic?
Well, Ted, you can't get AIDS from someone breathing on you, but you probably still think you can.
Or the flu, or the Spanish flu, or the bird flu, or the West Nile flu, or influenza every year.
Not going to get too political here, because this is about Ted being a fucking moron. No, there wasn't a COVID 1 through 18. Did you know that, Luce? That the 19 stands for?
The year.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, which I was really mad because it's like, I think they should always name them a year before, because as soon as, just like a car, you don't buy the COVID, it should be COVID 2022 if it comes out in COVID 20, because you don't want last year's model.
All right.
Right?
What about if they went with video games and they you know, like all the sports games are always the following year. Like the Madden that comes out this year will be Madden 22.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what it should be. That's how the world works. You don't want, you want the newest strain at all times.
Yeah.
But before we even go further into this, my whole point of like who's calling him is here's people I'd rather interview and hear information from. Okay.
Yeah.
I have never heard the opinion of a lead singer from Foghat's opinion on whoever that is.
He's not you with know? Us anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there you go. That's how much I know about Foghat. Here's another person I'd rather hear comment about COVID on Facebook Live. I would rather have a Facebook Live or interview the Seal from the cover of all those Riot albums.
Oh, nice.
What do you think?
Well, I'm actually trying to get him on the show, but he's...
Oh, you have been. Okay.
His people aren't being very cooperative.
I'm pretty sure he has a Munchkin voice. Mm. As fellow Munchkin voicers, another callback. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, I on Snark at the Moon, one of the weekly bits I did was things you don't think about when thinking about Ted Nugent. And it would just be random things like, you know, did I leave the oven on when I left home?
I don't get that one.
Yeah, because it's abstract humor. You have a hard time with that. If it doesn't directly connect, you would never think about your oven when you're thinking about Ted Nugent.
Oh, I would. All I thought about was tragedy in my house burning down when I was a young boy right then. So that's why I didn't really get the humor.
Okay. A little too. I'm sorry. Sometimes, you know, I can be insensitive. I forget.
My triggers, bro.
I should.
You should. So anything else that he added?
Well, I don't know. Do you want to get into it? He doubles down and talks about how all the numbers are rigged.
They claim 500,000 people have died from COVID-19. Bullshit. I believe that medical examiners in all 50 states have gone, oh, I put down on the death certificate that he died of asphyxiation, but they made me put COVID. Well, this guy was stabbed to death, but they made me put down COVID. This guy was run over by a tandem gravel truck doing a four-wheel drift, and the crows be pecking at your flesh, but they made me put down COVID-19.
He believes medical examiners in all 50 states have been put in that position. He doesn't offer any evidence, of course, because that's where we are today. But yeah, look, it's just kind of, it turns out he's probably dumber than I actually thought he was. And I did not have a lot of respect for the intelligence of Ted Nugent. So
where would he be in the ranking of Cobras and Fire as far as intelligent, thought-provoking musicians? Now, is Tommy Lee? I think Tommy Lee is above.
Yes, Tommy Lee has got a pretty good lead
right
on him
now.
Right. Yeah,
as of right now,
they were close before even today. You know,
yes, I think Tommy Lee is now upper. That's the person I would look for advice for anything. I'd go to Tommy Lee first.
Yeah, Sebastian Bach, I think, was below him and just squeaked past him.
No, I think Sebastian Bach's right above Tommy Lee.
Oh,
too.
Really?
So I think
right,
yeah, I think
on,
it goes
man.
Sebastian.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. You rock.
Anything else? Anything? What are your thoughts on COVID 1-18, Sebastian?
I just want to get back on tour, man. Let's all get our shots.
Anything else?
Rock on, party on.
All right. I think we're good. What we kind of hinted on in the beginning is this is the part where we are going to congratulate ourselves on our brilliance. Do you mind?
Absolutely not. You know I love it.
Cheers. Coffee cup of cheers.
Coffee ting.
For you. Ding, because we now are officially, as of this week, 6 years of thought-provoking commentary given to the world. So congratulations. This is how we've spent the last 6 years, providing content to you, our loyal listeners. In all seriousness, right?
Right,
come
man.
On.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, happy anniversary, yeah. Buddy. And thanks to the listeners, man. It really has been, I don't know, it's fun, man.
It's been great.
I would like to thank Ted Nugent for being a such great show material. He's
yes,
because I'm addicted to truth, logic, and common sense.
Thank you to this genre for continuously supplying content for us to talk about. Without you, we would be nothing. The other thing is that, you know, I'm sincerely looking forward to meeting. If you have not gone to Rockin' Pod, you know, yes, it's cool. The guests that are going there, there's a few more like Ricky Rackman, and apparently they're just getting all from everybody from MTV. Matt Pinfield, I saw was announced, but the real
Mark Goodman,
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of cool. Okay. I thought that was a joke. I didn't see that one announced. But the point being is that, you know, the biggest, you always hear all the podcasts talk about it, is meeting you, our loyal listener, having fun, just the general camaraderie of being able to make a reference to the seal on the cover of Riot and be able to know somebody knows what that is.
And don't forget, if you do come out to Nashville, every hand you shake has probably held the penis at some point.
That's true, yeah. Too. Yes. Yes.
Actually, like, you can pretty much apply that worldwide. It's not just Rock and Pod.
What about as a bonus? You know, we've had different merch before. I think this year we should take it next level and actually keep all of the porn videos we never return to local mom and pop stores, just on a stack, so you can experience you could actually rent them from us. You can have that Blockbuster or old school feel, and then you can never return it to us. Yeah. We'll charge you late fees forever. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea, not so much for what you're talking about, but now the listener gets to go home and watch something and go, Baco jerked off to this, and now I too am jerking off to this.
I think
LC is into the same thing I am, man. That is just
where. Even if we were into the prop, where the hell would you actually order blank videos to then put stickers on top of them? You know, here's the thing: we recently saw some statistics out there that made us feel good for our loyal listeners that there's a certain number that when in the first 7 days of a podcast. For new downloads, that's how they rank it, to say, do you have a consistent audience listening to you all the time?
Yeah.
And we are in the top 5% of any podcast out there. Now, understood, there's tons of podcasts that come out every day. There's ones that fade away and things like that. But they're saying, like, if you put out new content, that's like you putting out a show locally. And every time you come to town, the same amount of people will show up. Mm-hmm. And that has always been growing. But that's what's really satisfying is we release an episode and we know we're going to hit at least this number every time. So thank you.
Yeah.
That shows that we have a committed audience. And it's not like just the interview apps will pop. It's these general silly ones that always have the following.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So share. Please, continuously, if you have somebody out there that you think likes the same silliness.
If you could do us a favor, share any of the episodes you like. Follow us on Twitter at Cobra's Fire. We should mention that. We haven't touched that in a while. Join our group, man, on Facebook. It's a lot of fun. Everybody seems to be pretty chill, and it's a lot of the humor that we have on the show. Some of it may be a little more blue than we get here. But, yeah, Cobra's on Fire is the name of the group. Follow us on Facebook page, all that good stuff.
And I guess my whole thing is we don't have a consistent thing like others do where they count every single person that shares every week, and
we should mention the listeners a little more often, I do think. But yeah, we should. We just suck at it. It's really nothing personal.
That is pretty much it. So that does not mean we do not appreciate it as much. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I think it's a milestone. We should mention it. And ready to get out of here?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go.
Rock's not dead.
They just made it look like it was COVID.
Beal.
Zuh. Bub.
This is why it's not as popular as devil.
Yep. It's harder for the rednecks to say.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.